So Krishna is referring not specifically to 2.31 to 38. He is referring to He is referring to 11 to 30. When he says Esha Te Abhita Sankhya Buddhi Yoga Tvai Mam Shrun. So what I have spoken Sankhya. So he spoke Sankhya not in 31 to 38 but 11 to 30. So that means Krishna spoke Atma Gyan. Then in one sense Karmakand is action at the Atma Gyan level. But it is a very preliminary level of action. Because one is still not in a serious spiritual conception of life. One still has a mental conception of life. So Krishna is saying, now I'll take one step higher. So in one sense he gave Atma Gyan, then he gave a lower level application. Okay, therefore go to heaven. But now proper Atma Gyan at that level, how do I act? That means, like a simple example to understand this point. If somebody joins Brahmacharya Ashram, or somebody wants to join Brahmacharya Ashram, and then he just wants to try Brahmacharya Ashram, so at that time he will be told,
take off the wire. Don't take off. But that keeps making me sound. No, behind the. Mm-hmm. There.
So normally, Srila Prabhupada says that Brahmacharya life without waking up in the morning is nonsense. He says that. Now sometimes if you're sick, that is different. But it's normally expected one should wake up. But if somebody just coming first time in Brahmacharya life and he's trying to stay on for a few days to see how it is, then he will be told sometimes you can wake up, sometimes it's not difficult, you don't need to wake up. Now that is not the standard. But something which is below the standard is just given to him so that he can get a glimpse of it. So like that, when Krishna has given Atma Gyan 11 to 30, then to talk about Karma Kanda, that is not actually acting at the Atma level. One may theoretically know I am the Atma, but still is acting mostly at the level of material enjoyment only. So now Krishna will start talking about acting at the Atma level. If I am acting at the Atma level, what does it mean? It means that I will try to look after the welfare of the Atma. I will cater to the interests of the Atma, not to the interests of the senses. When one goes to the heavens, one is not really catering to the Atma. One is catering to the interests of the senses by providing better sense gratification. So therefore, now why am I talking about all this here? The point which I am making is, this transition verse 39, which we discussed in our previous class, so that is saying, I have spoken till now with this knowledge of Sankhya, analytical study. And now I will speak to you in terms of practically working according to that knowledge. So Krishna is saying, I spoke that knowledge. That refers not to the preceding section, but the section preceding the preceding section. If not 31-38 section, it refers to 11-30 section. So now Krishna starts by describing the characteristics of this knowledge. So he's telling, first characteristic is that the gains on this path are not lost. And gains on this path last forever. So nasha and pratyavaya. So nasha means loss. And pratyavaya means decrease. So if we see on the path of karmakanda, when a person goes to heavens, that is like a person who gets his own, say, chartered flight. And he has chartered flight for, say, 1 month. And he's flying around all over the world, enjoying. But what is happening? The 1 month time period is expiring. And as it is diminishing, when the 1 month period gets over, he will be thrown on the charter flight. And then he will be back on his own, the ground, wherever he was living earlier. So, similarly, when one goes to heaven, the person has done some good karma. So, in terms of good karma, the person has made the payment of good karma. And based on the payment of good karma, he is now getting the results. What are the results that he is getting? He is getting the enjoyment in heavens. But as he is doing the enjoyment, the karmic meter is ticking, tick, 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 and his credits are diminishing. And at the end, the credits will be lost completely. So, on the path of karma kanda, there is pratyavaya and there is nasha also. There is constant diminution and there is ultimate destruction. But on the other hand, on the path of transcendence, there is no pratyavaya and there is no nasha. Whatever we have achieved, whatever attraction to Krishna we have developed, that will stay with us forever. It will never be lost. Actually, in the Govinda Bhashya commentary, Baldev Vidyabhushan describes that sometimes the devas are said to be immortal. That by drinking the amrit, one becomes amar, it is said. So he said this is just an exaggeration given the Karmakanda lecture, literature, to attract people to those planets. Actually speaking, there is no place in the world which is eternal. And this will become more clear in 8.14.15.16. Everywhere one has to die. Then why is it said that the people there are amar? Yes, people there are amar. That means in the heavenly planet nobody dies. But when a person is about to die, that person is thrown out of the heavenly planet and after that he dies. After that he comes to the next body. He'll probably be back on earth or wherever a person is supposed to go. So there is no death in the heavenly planets. All that it means is that when a person is supposed to die, a person is taken out of the heavenly planets and then death strikes him. So it is in that sense not immortality. So that's why there is loss. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains about Ajaman, how he had chanted slightly. And by the chanting slightly also he got elevated. And Travajate Mahatobhaya of course means that one will get a human body. Normally one will not lose the human body. And even if one does a little bhakti, that bhakti will help the person to continue bhakti in the next human form. So this is the first characteristic Krishna describes. The second characteristic that he describes is the famous verse which gives Srila Prabhupada himself a lot of inspiration. Vivasayatmika buddhi, vivasayatmika buddhi, ekeha purunandana,
ekeha purunandana,
bahushakha hyanantascha,
bahushakha hyanantascha,
buddhayo vyavasayinam,
buddhayo vyavasayinam.
So, vyavasayatmika buddhi. So what does the word vyavasayatmika mean? One pointed, business-like. Vyavasaya means business. Vyavasaya means business. So vyavasayatmika means business-like. But when a person is in business, that person is simply interested in this is what I want, this is what I will get. Vyavasaya, one pointed. Ekeha purunandana. Person, that means if a person is very business minded, if a businessman is given a gift on his birthday, as soon as he sees the gift, 350 rupees, that's the thought that comes in his mind. Everything he evaluates in terms of money. So he says the transcendentalist is like that. He evaluates everything in terms of its potential for spiritual advancement. If there is no spiritual advancement, it means get not interested in it. And bahushakha hi anantascha. So Krishna is, in that sense, giving an ascending strength. Bahushakha. First, there are many branches. And how many? They are unlimited, actually. Buddhyo vyavasayi naam. Those are by vyavasayi. They are buddhi or money. So, in one sense, here Krishna is talking about the divisions of buddhi. The word buddhi he introduced to point 39, Esha. Buddhi yoga itma imamshu. And to practice buddhi yoga, the buddhi has to be fixed in yoga. Yoga, as you know, is connection with God. The intelligence has to be fixed so that we want to connect with God. So when there is that one connection, or the intention for that one connection, then one is qualified for the transcendental path. But if there is no intention for that one connection, then there are multiple connections. And what are the multiple connections? The multiple connections can be, okay, I'm attracted to this wealth, I'm attracted to the sense object, I'm attracted to this car, I'm attracted to this, I'm attracted to that. So in this way, one gets distracted to hundreds of things. So bahushakha hi anantascha. So in material life, a person doesn't have a fixed goal. Okay, I want one thing, but there's so many other things also I want. And sometimes the mind says, okay, I want this, but that looks better, I want that also. So on the spiritual path, one has to have one-pointedness. Now this verse is talking generally about the spiritual path's one-pointedness in terms of desiring the eternal object. Srila Prabhupada translated that into a practical application for us by saying this one-pointedness means following the instruction of the spiritual master. Because for us, our connection with Krishna will happen through the spiritual master. So therefore he says, we follow the spiritual master, then we are one-pointed. This is one of the most important purpose. And here, Prabhupada quotes from CC this very interesting definition of Shraddha. So you can recite after me. Shraddha sabde vishwasa kahe sudrudha nishchaya.
Shraddha sabde vishwasa kahe sudrudha nishchaya.
Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kritahaya.
Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kritahaya.
So, here, Shraddha is being defined from a transcendental perspective. What is that perspective? Shraddha shabde vishwasa kahe sudrudha nishchaya. So, in one sense, the word Shraddha and Vishwas mean the same thing, isn't it? You might think they are synonyms. So is it a definition? You say Shraddha means Vishwas. No, but Vishwas in what that is being told? Sudrudha Nishcha, firm. That Krishna Bhakti kaile. If one does Krishna Bhakti, then everything else gets done. So how does everything else get done? That is like when you water a room from the tree, all the parts get watered. When we cater to the soul, everything else gets catered for. Srila Prabhupada called this Prasad Bhagavad Prasad. And Srila Prabhupada said that this is the secret of my success. That I simply follow the instruction of my spiritual master, one point in me. Now, if you look at the example of Srila Prabhupada, at one particular time, when Srila Prabhupada came back to Mayapur with devotees from all over the world. So at that time, some of his godbrothers, when the devotees, the ISKCON devotees go to meet this, go to Bhagavali's Hulpas in Mayapur. Now most of the Hulpas in Mayapur are under the care of Gaudiyama. So they would meet the Gaudiya devotees over there, Gaudiyama devotees. And then some of them started saying, you know, if this Bhaktivedanta Swami has come to Mayapur, then why did he not come to the holy birthplace of Mayapur? He just went by there straight to Chandradayamandir. He did not even stop over here. What kind of devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is? Comes to Mayapur, he'll come to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then this news came to Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada said that where Lord Chaitanya appeared is not as important as why Lord Chaitanya appeared. Where Lord Chaitanya appeared is not as important as why Lord Chaitanya appeared. That doesn't mean that the place is not important, but more important than the place is the purpose. And Srila Prabhupada said that, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I am fulfilling their purpose. I am fulfilling their purpose. And Srila Prabhupada would say that, actually, those who are criticizing me, you go and ask them, how many of them have opened as many temples as I have opened? How many of them have written as many books as I have written? How many have made as many disciples as I have made? Now this may seem like Prabhupada is bragging, isn't it? But then comes the main point. Prabhupada says, I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master. I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master. Now what is the legacy of the spiritual master? Actually, if the Gaudiya Mutt is considered a legacy, Prabhupada did not inherit any legacy. The Gaudiya Mutt property went to the leaders at that time and they fought and split Gaudiya Mutt because of that. They were all great souls in their own way, but somehow they couldn't stay united at that time. But Prabhupada did not get any legacy from the material point of view. So what is the legacy? Srila Prabhupada himself was in his final days, sometimes some Indian well-wishers of his, like life members, and they were quite close to Prabhupada. They asked Prabhupada, who will be your successor? So Srila Prabhupada replied, whoever wants to be. They're surprised. What do you mean, whoever wants to be? So Prabhupada said that all my disciples, if they take up the responsibility, they can be my successors. So actually speaking, the real legacy from the spiritual master to the disciple is not a property, it is not a wealth, it is actually the desire to glorify Krishna. The desire to glorify Krishna is the legacy that comes from the spiritual master, the disciple. So what Srila Prabhupada got from Bhaktivedanta Thakur was that desire to glorify Krishna. And from that desire to glorify Krishna, so many temples manifested, so many books manifested, so many devotees manifested. So essentially, the spiritual master gives us this desire. And when we take up that desire as our life's mission, then the material results manifest. So Mr. Prabhupada says, whoever wants to be can be my successor. What does that mean? That means whoever takes up the desire to glorify Krishna, that person will become my successor. So now we will see, even in this call, many of the leaders who were very prominent at Prabhupada's times, they are not there. They are not there. Either some of them have departed or some of them had difficulties in their Krishna consciousness. And so they are not in the lead positions of leadership right now. But ISKCON is going on. Prabhupada's legacy is going on. How? There are other senior Prabhupada disciples who have the desire to glorify Krishna. You know, close the kitchen door. So, through them, the glorification of Krishna is still happening. And not only happening, it's expanding. At Prabhupada's time, there are 108 temples. Now there are more than 500 temples. So what is this Ekeha Kurnandana? That is this. My life is for glorifying Krishna. So Prabhupada recorded instruction from Bhaktisanskrit Thakur. In one sense, and suddenly we have given some service and then we are told, Prabhu, are you going for that? Do that service? Yes, I'm just going to do it in 5 minutes. And then after 10 minutes he asked, yeah, I'm just going. Sometimes there's so much follow-up that has to be done for even a small service that we are doing. But Bhaktisanskrit Thakur was given such a big service, go to America and preach. There's no follow-up at all. What happened? Bhaktisanskrit Thakur himself just gave the one instruction once, you should preach in the English language. And then just before he departed, Prabhupada wrote a letter to him. He has so many sannyasis, sannyasi disciples, doing so much. I'm a grahastha, what can I do for you? Prabhupada told him again, preach yourself, convert yourself into a preacher in the English language. Just one instruction and one confirmation of that instruction. And Prabhupada took that desire as life and soul. So, Ekeha Kurunandana for us would mean taking up the desire to glorify Krishna as our life and soul. Now, how we will glorify Krishna? Our spiritual master will tell us, or our spiritual authorities will tell us, or as we continue our service to Krishna, that itself will get revealed. So, we will find, okay, this is where I have talent, this is where I have some ability. And by then, gradually, it will evolve. So that's how it works. So in these two verses, Krishna has talked about Karma Kanda, Karma Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga. Basically, the commonality between the two is both are transcendental paths. Both are transcendental paths. And in 6th chapter, Prabhupada will explain that anything that is aiming for transcendence, that is auspicious. So even if a person starts practicing Jnana Yoga to get attracted towards Brahman, Brahman is also an aspect of Bhagavan. It's an aspect of the absolute truth. And even that attraction to transcendence will continue on in the next life. So in that sense, that is also not material. That is indestructible. And similarly, that also requires unpointed. So in 41, Krishna has the characteristics of the transcendental path. Now we will contrast that with the Karma Kanda path in the next two verses. Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadantya vipaschitaha
Pravadantya vipaschitaha
Vedavadrataha partha
Vedavadrataha partha
Nanyadastiti vadinaha
Nanyadastiti vadinaha
Kamatmanaha svargapara
Kamatmanaha svargapara
Janma karma falatrata
Janma karma falatrata
Kriya Vishesha Bahulam
Kriya Vishesha Bahulam
Bhoga Ishvarya Gatim Prati
Bhoga Ishvarya Gatim Prati.
So, Pushpitam Vacham, flowery words. As I told, flowery words, you will go to heavens and you will enjoy for all of eternity, you will become immortal. They are flowery words. Pravibhana, Avipaschitaha. So, Vipaschita is discriminating. of non-discriminating. These people are called as Vedavadaratha. You remember we discussed them in the Isha Upanishad, Mantra 9 purport. So in that, Vedavadaratha was one of the people who are called as Yovidyayamrata, those who are having so-called knowledge. So Vedavadaratha, they are, Vada means argument or school of thought. So they are absorbed in arguing for the supremacy of Vedic wisdom. But according to Vedic wisdom means Karmakandi wisdom. And they say, na anyad asti iti vadinaha. There's nothing else. So the word vad comes twice. It represents the Vedavadata and vadinaha. Vad means school of thought. They say, this is the only school of thought. This is the only message of the Vedas. And there is no other message of the Vedas. And Krishna has a very graphic language over here. He doesn't say they are kamuk. He says, kamatmanaha. That means their atma is made of kam. They are so permeated with material desires. Kamatmanaha. So, here is metaphorical language. It's not that Atma is also Sthananda, but it is trying to figure it out. They are so filled with material desires that they are called as Kamatma. And Swargapara. They want to go to Swarga. Kriya Vishay Janma Karma Phala Pradam. What will happen by going to Swarga? See, Krishna talks about Janma Karma Chame Divyam. He talks about how my Janma Karma are Divya. But here, they want to have their own extraordinary Janma and Karma. I think, oh, I'll be born happily bad, and then I will enjoy with the apsara, then I'll do this and I'll do that. Janma karma phala pranam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. So vishesha means special. Bahulam means many. So they do many special sacrifices. Here kriya refers to many sacrifices. Karma kandi yajnas. For what? Bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. For the purpose of bhoga is sense enjoyment. Aishwarya is wealth. So, Kanchan and Kamenians, Hiranya and Kashipu, the same points. But the difference between them and Hiranya Kashipu is they want to do it in a godly way. Hiranya Kashipu wanted to do it in an ungodly, anti-scriptural way. So, in one sense, the Devatas and the Asuras both have desires for sense gratification. But the difference between them is that the Devatas are ready to regulate the sense gratification and secure it through scriptural means. Whereas the Asuras, they want sense gratification, but they want to defy the supreme authority and get it by force. Get it by force. So that is the main difference. But so here Krishna is talking about those who want to become Devatas, those who want to go to Swarga and enjoy. So this purport is quite significant. Prabhupada is a little blunt. People in general are not very intelligent. It can be quite blunt, but Prabhupada is talking on the philosophy perspective that, you know, in a population of 1,000 people, you know the distribution? In a population of 1,000 people, there is one Brahmana, 9 Kshatriyas, 90 Vaishyas, and 900 Shudras. Where are we now? No, in general. Okay, I'll come to that. Below Shudra. Where are we? Okay. So here we have one Brahmana, 9 Kshatriyas, 90 Vaishyas, 900 Shudras. This is standard composition of society. So, in general, even in Kali Yuga, if we take a general cross section of 1,000 people, there will be one Brahminically inclined person. Now, the Brahminically inclined person requires training to become a Brahmin. We can say Kalau Shudra Sambhava. That is fine. But even in Kali Yuga, there are Brahminically inclined people. Now, we know that Varna has these two aspects. there is guna and there is karma. So in general, karma is more or less that which comes by birth. For example, some people have phenomenal memories, or they have very good information processing abilities. So this is basically the aspect of karma. So in Kali Yuga also, people, there will be people who are intellectuals. Even in material life, you see there are people who are brilliant managers. They are brilliant managers. So they have the karma of being Kshatriyas. There are some people who can raise money like anything. They are brilliant Kshatriyas. They are Vaishyas. So in general, among the guna and karma, actually the karma comes by purva samskar. The karma comes by the purva janma karma. Purva janma karma. It comes as a purva karma phala. Whereas the guna requires training. Guna means what? Guna means qualities. So if you see, there is training for guna. Now karma, you could say as something like, in modern parlance, you could call it as competence. And guna is character. So competence is actually what comes by purva karma phala, and guna is what comes by samskara, by more of, not just samskara, but pious samskara, by proper training. So what happens is, you see, our academic society today, it gives training people in just how to analyze, how to study, how to memorize, how to process, but it doesn't train the intellectuals in detachment. It doesn't train the intellectuals in sense control. It doesn't train the intellectuals in far-sighted vision. So that's why we have intellectuals who are brahmanically oriented, but they don't have the guna of a brahmana. They have the karma of a brahmana. So the guna of a brahmana will come by training. Training, especially spiritual training, or at least sattvic training. Without that, we don't have really the full gamut of brahmanical qualities. Some brahmanical quality will be there, but not full. So now what is Krishna telling over here? The people in general are not very intelligent, Prabhupada explained. That means most of them are shudras. And they perform various acts, the Jyotish Toma, by which they can go to heavens. Prabhupada explains, a fool, as fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees, without knowing the results of such attractions, unenlightened men are similarly attracted by such heavenly opulence in the sense of enjoyment thereof. Till what time is the class? Well, what is the time now? 47? So Prabhupada explains that now why are these people called as fools? He says that they are attracted to poisonous trees without knowing the results of the attraction. So from the point of view of karmakanda scripture, going to heaven and doing punya for that is glorious. But Prabhupada is giving the purport from the point of view of Vaishnava Siddhanta. So karmakanda jnanakanda kevala vishera bhanda. Haratanda Shakur says that actually he is telling that scripture is Vishera Bhanda. Karma Kanda, Gyanada Kanda, where is it taught? It's taught in scripture. So, this is the transcendental devotional perspective that anything short of Krishna consciousness is a distraction. And it is a distraction that is because it keeps us deprived of Krishna consciousness, so it is actually cheating. It is like poison. Bhagavatam also very strongly says, Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. So, our religion is given by God. Why should it be called a cheating religion? Because it is not enabling us to attain the full potential of our life. So, Prabhupada is paraphrasing that over here. And he is saying that it's poisonous religion. Prabhupada nearly quotes Karma Kanda over there. In the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. So now, after describing this, so he has already given a hint that they are avipaschitaha. They are non-discriminating. Now, what is the connection over here? 41 Krishna is again eternal game. Get eternal game. 40, 40 he said you can get it only. 41 he said for that you have to be unpointed. And then he said there are some people who are not one-pointed but multi-pointed. Then 43, 44 he will tell about how these people are, 40 to 43 he will tell about how these people are multi-pointed. And they have so many multiple desires. And those who have multiple desires, they cannot be one-pointed. That is the conclusion that Krishna will draw in the 44th verse. That's the flow over here. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam
Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam
Tayaparita chetasam
Tayaparita chetasam
Vyavasayatmika buddhi
Vyavasayatmika buddhi
Samadhauna vidhiyate
Samadhauna vidhiyate.
So, prasaktanam. Prasakta is strong, Acharya. Taya aparita chetasam. Aparan means kidnapping. So, the consciousness gets kidnapped by material desires. This happens many times, say, if we are caught up with the thought of something. Say, if we know that, say, today in Prasad there is some delicious item and we love it very much. So, we are sitting in a class, we are reading scripture, we are discussing something, but the mind has been kidnapped by that thought. And when will I get it? When will I get it? When will I get it? And in Prasad it's relatively harmless. But if that's to drugs, or that is to sex, or that is to alcohol, or whatever, it can be much more dangerous. So any form of material enjoyment, if one is strongly attached to it, then it abducts away our consciousness. We are at one place, but our consciousness doesn't stay over there. So even if such people try to practice spiritual life, they can't, because their consciousness is not free. Their consciousness is bound. So, and then he says, because they are so caught up in that desire, they cannot have one-pointedness. Now, can we say that if somebody is into sense gratification, is one-pointed about sense gratification, isn't it? He's one-pointed in fulfilling lust. But the point is, lust does not have one point. Lust has many points. This. So, lust is not satisfied. You cannot stay one-pointed. And even that one-pointedness cannot at the most stay after this life. Even for this life, it doesn't stay for many years. So, if you see in material life, people get infatuated by some things. Maybe it happened to us, or sometimes you develop an interest in hockey, sometimes you develop an interest in football, sometimes in cricket, sometimes in chess, sometimes in this, sometimes in that. So, the soul is searching for happiness in different ways, and there is no ultimate fixed goal. But when he comes to Krishna, he cannot be fixed if he is too attached. And samadhau na vidhiyate. So here, the word samadhi refers to, at absolute level it can refer to samadhi, supposing I am again samadhi. But at a practical level also it means that when we try to practice spiritual life, we do not get in samadhan in it. We are not getting satisfaction because our mind is elsewhere. So then Krishna explains that this is not the way one can practice spiritual life. So what should one do? Prabhupada gives the definition of samadhi in that verse you can read there after. It says, samyak adhiyate asmin atma tattvam yathatme. We fixed in the atma, that is samadhi. Now of course, Prabhupada is giving the definition here from Anirukti. For devotees, the devotional level, samadhi is fixing the mind on Krishna. And Prabhupada will talk that in the 9th chapter later. So now he says, therefore, so he has told Arjuna that those are attached to Vedas, they cannot be fixed in the spiritual path. Therefore, go beyond the Vedas. Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna.
Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna.
Nirdvando Nitya Sattvastho.
Nirdvando Nitya Sattvastho.
Niryoga Kshema Matmava.
Niryoga Kshema Matmava.
So, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas talk about three and three modes of material nature, but you go beyond them. This Traigunya Bhava Arjuna. So is the Bhagavad Gita a Vedic book or not a Vedic book? Is it a Vedic book? But it's telling us go beyond the Vedas. So in one sense, go beyond the Vedas means isn't it saying you have to reject the Vedas? So if you reject the Vedas, then how can it be a Vedic book? Transcend. So that means go beyond them. And that means reject. You are on the right track. There is something wrong in my reasoning. Going beyond does not necessarily mean rejecting. going beyond is building upon. Say if there's a 10-story building, and then I go beyond that, that means I climb higher. It's not that I reject the 10 stories, I go further. So Krishna is not rejecting the Vedas per se. He's telling, don't let yourself be restricted by the Vedas. The Vedas take us to a particular level and we should go to that level. But don't stay restricted at that level, go rise further. So the Vedas can bring a person from Tamoguna to Satoguna. But one has to go beyond that, then one has to go beyond the reach of the Vedas. Nistraigunyo bhava Arjuna. Go beyond the three modes of material nature. And Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvastho. So what does it mean to go beyond the three modes of material nature? Nirdvandvo. He says, first of all, go beyond the modes. Go beyond the modes is already told. And go beyond dualities. Now Nitya Sattvastho. Here the word sattva does not refer to goodness, mode of goodness. Because Krishna has already told Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. So he's already told Nistraigunyo. That means he said go beyond the three modes. So sattva doesn't refer to goodness over here. Nitya sattvastho means be situated in yourself. Sattva here refers to existence. Be situated in your self-existential identity. And nir yoga kshema atmavan. Nir yoga kshema atmavan means that don't be concerned about protection or gain. What I have, when Krishna, what he has told over here, he will tell the other side in 9.22. Here he is saying nir yoga kshema atmavan. But in 9.22 he will tell yoga kshema vahamyaham. So, you see here, it is very difficult. Don't bother about protection. Don't bother about accumulation. How do I not do that? Because then Krishna will tell, I will do it for you. So then it becomes easier. So at this level, the Gita is primarily focusing on detachment. Become detached from material things. It's an important message, but it is not a very easily practicable message for us. But when we understand, if I just understand that life is not in my control, then that will make me panicky. But if I don't understand life is not in my control, that will make me foolish. If I think life is in my control, and then I find that life is not in my control, I'll be foolish, I'll become frustrated. If I think I'll make this plan and I will execute it 100%, then if I think like that, I'm going to be frustrated. So if I think life is in my control, I'll become foolish and frustrated. But if I think life is not in my control, I'll become panicky. Who knows what will happen? And will I be there in the future? Or where will I live? What this, that? So I'll become so insecure. So it's like a person who is sick. If the person who is sick thinks I'm okay, he's in trouble. My body is in my control. But then he understands that my body is not in my control. He'll become panicky. So actually speaking, to just understand that things are not in my control, that doesn't necessarily lead to any sense of security or solace. Actually, okay, things are not in my control, but things are in Krishna's control. When I understand that, then I become peaceful. Without that understanding, detachment can just be frustrating. You know this saying, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let God, can I do it or make it whatever happened it might be. Therefore, what is Niryoga Kshema Atmavan? Krishna is now, right now, telling in this verse 2.45, is telling, let go. And in 9.22, he will tell, let God. That's where the message will become complete. If I don't let go, I'll be frustrated. If I just let go, I'll be panicky. I'll feel helpless. If I let go and let God, then I'll be reassured. So this is a complete message. So it's a progression. It's a progression. Niryogakshemam Atmavan. Krishna is telling Atmavan. Now here Krishna is using a lot of metaphorical language in one sense. Like I told Kama Atmana, the Atma is Kama only. So he says become, like what does the word Van mean? Possessor, isn't it? Possessor. So Bhagavan, possessor of opulence, Dhanavan, possessor of wealth. So he's saying become Atmavan, become possessor of Atma. What does it mean possessor of Atma? Actually, if I am the Atma, what does it mean to possess the Atma? It means possess Atma Gyan. To possess the knowledge, the awareness that I am the Atma. So Prabhupada has quoted earlier, I think in 2.40 purport, what profit is the man if he gains the whole world but loses the soul? So Krishna is saying, become Atmavan. How will one become Atmavan? One will become Atmavan by Nirdvandvo Nitya Satyastho. The more my consciousness is caught at the material level, I cannot be aware at the spiritual level. The more my consciousness is fixed at the spiritual level, then I can be in possession of my spiritual sense and I can be oriented properly. So we'll continue in the next class in the evening. Thank you very much. Shri Shiv, Sri Krishna Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you. So, evening is at what time? 5:30 to 6:30. Today we complete how many? 46. We started a little late also. Okay. So 11 to 12.
I'm just speaking about Vedic people. You said they will tell me whether others who are below Shudras, they fall. They won't come in this. I'm saying. Do you understand the question? About 1,000 people, when they say,
this is talking not from the guna point of view, talking about karma point of view.
The karma point of view, everybody will fall in this four only.
Okay.
That means, they, when the Muslims came and attacked India, they were destroying Vedic culture. But the very fact that they were fighting and they were conquering, but they had some Kshatriya, they had Kshatriya karma over there, not a Kshatriya guna, but they had some Kshatriya karma over there. So, that way, there is nobody who will fall. These are not just four castes, they are four human types. They are four human types. And all human beings will fall in the four types. But some people who do not have any proper guna, then they are said to fall in outside this. But when they say they are falling outside, all that means is that they are falling in terms of guna. But otherwise, you see, they will either be intellectuals, or they will be administratively oriented, they are business oriented, or they will be having physical skills. They have to have one of these things. Yes.
Was it Varna they divided into Narthama or Ashrama also?
Generally Varna.
Only Varna. But Varna Sam, Chaturvarna, and I said the Guna Tarma Varna Sam.
So Krishna, actually Chatur Varna only says, he is using Varna only over there, not even Ashrama over there. Chatur Varna. Ashrama. And if you look at the context also, it's all about Varna, it's not about Ashrama. Varanashrama system, Krishna, now, do brahmacharis? No. You can't be expected to change your guna or your karma from ashram to ashram. Maybe karma will change a little bit. But even that doesn't change much. Slightly it will change. Guna doesn't change. Guna is more or less same for the lifetime.
we should not be insensitive. We should not be self-righteous. We should not be arrogant. So you see, the whole mood of the class was that just the devotion, just my devotion does not justify me doing anything wrong. It does not grant me immunity from the law of karma. That was the mood of the class. So I think you have to see everything in the light of that mood of the class. In that way, will we get reactions? If we become serious devotees and we practice Krishna consciousness, actually speaking, even our parents will get benefits. So anybody getting a reaction is out of question. I feel that everything, every class has a context. And when you understand the context, then you understand the spirit in which the points are spoken. So in this case, what is being spoken primarily is that we should not justify our wrongdoings in the name of God. That is the main thing of the church. Apart from that, you don't have to bother too much. Certainly, sir. If somebody becomes immoral, that is bad. But that's a different issue. Somebody is trying to sincerely practice bhakti, then it's not wrong.
We have sincerely about that sincerity.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Many times our bhakti practices become a justification for chalta hai, sort of, you know. Chalta hai, that is not good. Chalta hai, that is not good. If you have, try to practice as nicely as possible. You don't need to offer this. Okay.